is the Tom Likas Show.
Everything you say is the fucking truth, man.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
There's no doubt about it.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24/7 at tom.show. You can hear us in our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. That's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. You and me on the Tom Likas Show, and it is a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We do this every Tuesday. We have a bonus hour for you, and in this case, we are going to be talking here with family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, bend down and talk into the mic, please.
Hey, always a pleasure, Tom.
Thank you so much. I was afraid you were going to start talking standing up, and the
only
mic is,
you do that, right?
The mic, well, the point is, I know where to put the mic when I do that. You would probably just talk into it from 4 feet away, and I'd want that to happen.
Yes. I say, Tom, I know everything about radio from you.
I know, and it's an ongoing education, as everybody knows.
No doubt about it.
So, family law attorney Adam Sachs, what do you have in the bag for us today?
So there's a lovely story. I posted this on my Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, they don't make them like they used to, Tom.
Yep.
This woman hired these two guys to kill her husband, and he was apparently disabled. And they killed him, all right. He went for a walk in a park, and then they came back to tell her that they had done the deed, and she did a threesome with them.
Really?
As a little thank you, besides paying them,
Wow. Apparently.
So I thought that was a nice little nice gesture, right?
That's quite the perk.
Nice that the woman was just thinking about her husband being dead and, went straight for the sex with the guys who actually, killed him. And this leads me to article number 2, which I also put on my Facebook, which is they're talking about the graying of divorce. And we've talked about this before. Tom, one of the great patronizing lines, and I know you've heard this, and I've heard it too a few times. You start to talk about what's going on in court today and how relationships aren't what they used to be and so forth. And I've seen this like even on the BBC. Somewhere along the line, the interviewer leans forward and says, "Oh, Tom, a woman hurt you. Isn't that right? Isn't that why you're like this now?" And
right.
This is a little bit of a false sympathy, no doubt about it.
Oh, boy.
But, the great answer, which you always say, is, look, if I'm a man, I've been screwed over by at least a woman somewhere.
Right.
And that's a common experience. And in all fairness, I guess, women get screwed over by men, too. So I guess that's part of being human. But the follow-up question typically is, "Oh, Tom, who's going to take care of you when you're old and who's going to empty your bedpan and whatnot?"
Right.
Well, so that's where this article comes in. It was talking about, it was in England, by the way. It was one of those Daily Mail gigs.
Right.
But it is a statistical fact that also applies to the United States, apparently, that the rate of marriage, as you know, is going down, and the rate of divorce is going down in most categories, believe it or not,
in
age groups, except for one, older people. Older people are getting divorced now much more frequently than before, than ever before.
Right.
And almost all those divorces are naturally initiated by women. And what this article talked about is what's going on, what they call the graying of divorce, of, this woman that was supposed to take care of you in your old age, yeah, don't count on it.
Right.
Basically, sweet wife of yours, and they gave a few examples in the article, women from different cities or whatever, but basically that had been married 30, maybe 40 years.
Yeah, these women were in their 60s. I saw the story.
Yeah. and they were all, you know, raised families, and they all bitched about the sacrifices they made, you know, giving up some of their dreams and whatnot in order to raise a family. Let's remember that usually the woman is the one who's pushing to get married and pushing for the house with the picket fence and pushing to have kids. These are female dreams and desires, not typically male ones. But in any case, here you have a husband, and they always show these guys that, you know, as much as maybe the woman was sacrificing, these guys were working and sacrificing, raising their families, knocking themselves out for 30 or 40 years. And they had anticipated retiring and having, you know, their wife and them going to, you know, travel the world or to, you know, go to a warmer climate like the people that go to Florida or, you know, whatever to retire. And instead, they're getting hit with a divorce. And these guys, you can see they were old school guys, were just, they're dumbfounded, absolutely dumbfounded. And the way the article portrayed it was how the wife, you know, is so empowered, you know, and she's able to finally break free from the suppressive life that she had, where the husband, you know, and her children limited her from doing the things that she wanted to do. And now, by the way, having taken the husband to the cleaners, you know, wiping out any retirement plan he had, she is now able to enjoy her later years and to do her own thing. And they're all bragging about how they just, they're so happy not to have a man bothering them anymore and not having to deal with relationships and sex, and how they love, you know, being able to spend the money that their husband spent his entire life working for and saving. So guys, I think that what they didn't mention in the article, which is an interesting lesson, which is certainly worth remembering and thinking about, is the reality of this, which is that you as the guy have no real promise or commitment, particularly from today's woman, who is nothing like your grandmother, who is going to, you know, live off of you and do her thing, and then, you know, have no consideration, no appreciation, of course, for any of the sacrifices you've made. And, you know, when it suits her, she's going to dump your ass, take the money, and, you know, you're going to be screwed, basically, working for the rest of your life.
That's right. And it's something I tell guys about, not only about wives, but also about having children.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, there's no guarantee when if you have kids and they grow up, that they're ever going to help you with anything. Now, people have these kids, and they think the kids are going to, you know, wheel them around in the wheelchair or help them with the walker or change the bedpans for them. And so many parents, especially in the United States, they find out the hard way that their kids took their advice at age 18. You said, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
Yeah.
And then when the kid leaves, later they can't figure out why the kid is not available,
right,
to do all these services. So people are having kids thinking it's going to be an automatic slam dunk that those kids are going to do things for them in their old age. Forget it.
Well, this is a sign of the reality in terms of, you know, the expectations that people have today. I mean, even if you have a good relationship with your kids, owing just, for example, to the way things are and the size of our country, you know, your kids get, you know, transferred to different jobs in different places, and you have some kid that lives in Texas and some kid that lives in Florida, Indiana, you know, and it's going to be remarkable if you really get together with them for 1 week a year during the holidays or whatever, if that. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure. It's amazing. I get calls all the time from guys that say to me, you know, I got to fight for custody of my kids, but I have to ask my new wife if it's okay. So the guy's putting his new wife ahead of the interest of his kids and telling me that before he can spend money on any legal fees respecting his children, he has to get permission from wifey poo, which is the mother of, you know, the second set of kids that he had, not the first. And it's very typical. If you have a son, he marries some bitchy woman, you know, and she doesn't like you or she doesn't like the situation or whatever, you know, she's going to have kids, they're going to live in Florida, and she's going to be the one that you're going to be finding out makes the decisions that they're not going to come visit you very often, or they don't want to deal with it or whatever. It's going to be hard for you to have a contact with your own son or your grandchildren or whatever. And that's how it works in the modern world. That's just the reality. This is a new way of thinking and a new kind of narcissistic, me-first kind of thinking. And, you know, a guy at one time would have put his foot down and said, look, I'm not going to play this, not where it comes to my own parents. But guys today are weak, and women go nuts, and they know they can. There's a little nostalgia from the show, Tom. This was something I looked up that you had done back in 2007 when you were on terrestrial radio. You had an article, which is in the New York Times, about a woman who literally had all her plans to leave her husband. He was completely unknowing about it, had no idea what was going on, and she was waiting for the real estate market to peak. And she actually had an agent who she kept in touch with. And at the right moment, she waited a few years, the real estate market went up, and the agent told her that this was a peak. And that's when she left her husband and sold the apartment that they had, which is a very expensive New York apartment, and just ruined the guy, took everything, and was now living very happily, apparently, in California, having this all this big windfall that she took away from her husband. And you have to think about being that guy. So think about this. You're a guy, you think you're happy, you think you have a good marriage, your wife is smiling in your face and making meals and hanging out with you and living with you, and you know, you think you're doing great, living the American dream, and what you don't know is that the whole entire time she has a secret plan to dump your ass, but she's waiting for the exact best moment to do it. You know, it reminds me of when a woman has a really awful thing that she wants to say to you, or she wants to tell you that she knows something that you don't think she knows and really hurt you with it, and she's waiting for the worst possible moment to say it to you, when it can be said in the most hurtful possible way. So here, a woman has actually made a long-term plan where she's going to dump you, but she's not executing it until the market is just right. And she literally is telling her girlfriend, so get this, everyone knows, you know, everyone, all of her confidants, all her friends, all the people that you're seeing that she has visiting over, they're all sitting there looking at you, and they know that she is going to soon be divorcing you, but she's waiting for the market to be at its peak. And you are sitting there, the schmuck, going to work every day, kissing her goodnight, thinking that she loves you, when actually she's spending her entire time planning to dump you, except she doesn't want to do it unless she can get the absolute maximum financial benefit. And there was actually even another article, Tom, which I think was on my Facebook and you linked to, on yours as well, talking about surrogacy. And I think, Tom, this is a business that we should be looking into here.
Absolutely.
this is no joke. You know, there's a lot of examples. And I mean, there are people that got really scared about surrogacy because there were horror stories. And there was a case of Baby M. I studied it when I was in law school, and it was on TV and the movies where this couple, you know, couldn't have a child, and they hired this woman. And she got impregnated, and then she gave birth to the baby, and she wouldn't give them the baby, and she gave the baby like a different name than they wanted, and even though it was genetically their baby, she wouldn't hand it over, and then she went on the run, and all this kind of nonsense. You know, this is something that goes on. It's illegal in some countries. It's actually legal in the United States. But if you look at the way circumstances are developing, you see how a lot of companies, like, for example, Dell Computers, when you call for their tech support to get your computer working right, or you're having a problem with Windows or whatever, you're calling a company in India. And they have some kind of, you know, 24-hour shift, so whatever time it is here doesn't matter. They got people over there. And because, you know, long distance goes over the Internet, it's so inexpensive to make a phone call now, plus they have a person sitting there recreating your situation over in India. You know, you're talking to a guy, and he's helping you debug your computer. I know that when I call my bank, they have the calls being taken in Costa Rica. So they have, like, the phone bank of different kinds of customer support in different countries, and you see that that's something that's been kind of farmed out. There are companies now that do medical things. So, for example, you might be in an American hospital, but when they take an x-ray of your chest to see what your situation is, it might get analyzed by a doctor also, you know, in a country like India, where that guy, for all we know, in India might have gone to Oxford or Harvard or whatever, but because he's in India, he charges a fraction of what an American doctor would charge. So they may, you know, have the person set you up, and obviously physically you're in California, but the digital x-ray is being sent by email to India, and the guy is looking at it and diagnosing you with whatever and sending back his diagnosis, and that's something that's happening in a completely different place. So if you look at what's going to happen, and this is already happening, is that someone, let's say from a gay couple, or let's say a single guy, or people in the circumstances like the classic one where there's a heterosexual couple, but they have some kind of fertility issues, they will either use their own sperms and eggs, or they're going to, you know, buy them, which is commercially possible now. There are companies that trade in these things, and you can get eggs from different college students or whatever. You can get sperm from sperm banks. Everyone knows this. And what you would do is you would send these things by Federal Express to a some kind of medical hospital, clinic, whatever, in another country, let's say India or you know, South America or in China or someplace where it would, you know, be doing this. For example, this was going on in Thailand. They were doing this sort of thing. And you literally would have a woman there be implanted and, you know, get pregnant, gestate your baby, give birth to it, and, you know, the baby would be genetically yours, or would be the eggs or whatever that you sent there. And then you would obviously pay her, which would be a lot less money, relatively speaking, than you would, you know, pay to an American woman. It would be, for her, probably an unbelievable benefit in terms of her her income. I mean, you look at the yearly income levels of people and average incomes in other countries. If someone in India, you know, gestated a baby for you, and she was paid, you know, $10,000 or whatever, $20,000, that would be enough for her to live on for years, you know, to send all her children to college and to buy a house, you know. And meanwhile, you would go there, you'd pick up the baby, you'd take care of the adoption papers or whatever, the, you know, not even adoption, it's your baby genetically, so you take care of the transfers and so forth. Having someone like me as an attorney do it for you, obviously, and bring back your new baby. I mean, that would be unbelievable, Tom.
Right.
And it's going to be, I think, systematic like that.
Well, that's what I've been suggesting, and now you're seeing some articles about that subject, and I think you're going to be hearing more about that. You know, it's pretty well known how guys get screwed in divorce court. If you really need to have a kid, why not just make your own? Why do you need a woman involved?
I mean, it seems like, you know, relatively speaking, if you're going to have to spend, you know, God knows, tens of thousands of dollars on it, but still, it's your child. You don't have to share it with a woman in any serious way. I mean, if you date a woman, she could help you with the kid, but it's not her kid, it's your kid. And if you think about how much guys pay in child support, how many payments is it, Tom? 216?
216.
216 monthly payments.
That's right.
That could be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, for a guy. Basically handing it over to a woman, you don't know what she's spending it on, not necessarily the kid. She'd be spending it on herself.
Right.
And the reality is, you're going to have a kid that she doesn't let you see, that she tells you're a piece of shit to, that she raises in a religion you don't agree with. I mean, it seems a lot more rational to be the guy who does it himself, if that's your choice. And when I was a kid, there was a show called The Courtship of Eddie's Father.
Yep.
And it showed this young guy, his wife had died, I think, and he was raising a son by himself. Well, that was Ron Howard, right?
No.
Was it in a movie or something? Or was it a TV show?
It was made from a movie from the early 60s.
Yeah.
But the guy...
So the kid was Ron Howard?
No.
No?
The kid was named Brandon Cruz.
Okay, there we
go. Pulled that name out of my ass.
There you go, Rain Man.
That's it.
I love it. And who was the dad? It was Bill Bixby. It was
Bill
the Hulk,
Bixby.
Right?
Well, he had just finished doing My Favorite Martian.
Oh, there we go. All right. Well, that was an upgrade from that. But it was portrayed on television when I watched it, and I remember as something unusual. I remember asking my parents about it and being like, wow, you know, like, you didn't think of that, that like the father could raise the child. And he hired this Asian lady, Mrs. Livingston, to help him. She was like the nanny or the housekeeper or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, when you add up the amount of money you're going to pay to a woman who's going to be out of control in child support, you are better off having the kid on your own, even if you need a nanny to help you raise it or whatever the situation is, maybe other people can assist you and your family or whatever. And then obviously, like anyone else, you go to work and your kid goes to school when they're a little older. You know, it is not that unusual anymore. And when you see the kids, you know, you think your kid's going to get made fun of or whatever. Kids today in school, you know, I live in California, you know, there are kids being raised by lesbian mothers and gay fathers and every possible combination of parents that you could possibly imagine. It doesn't mean anything. No one's shocked by anything anymore. So, I mean, the truth is that's something that guys have to seriously think about and seriously consider. Because, I mean, it always astounds me when a woman comes to my office and she pulls out from like a box this big thing of documents that she's collected, her husband's bank statements and all kinds of financial things and papers from the marriage and so forth. And I look at it, she has it going back for years, and I say to her, you know, what's going on here? How long have you been doing this? And she tells me, I've been planning to leave him for 5 years. And so they, you know, they have a marriage of only, what, 10 years. And so she literally has been waiting and waiting to break the 10-year mark, which means that she can get permanent alimony. And for the past 5 years of the 10 years, she's been accumulating every single record and proof that she can of all the bank accounts and all the financial statements and all these things that he thinks she doesn't even know about. He has these accounts that she's not aware of, that she is aware of. And she has been waiting for her right moment, like that lady waiting for the housing market to peak, so that she can stick the knife in. And what was especially fascinating in this article from England that I mentioned is how absolutely remorseless, and I mean remorseless, these women were. You know, they always showed in these old movies, you know, the guy that dumps his family for a call girl or his secretary, and how he didn't care and he turns his back on his wife, and they show her destitute and she's crying. She's so lost, you know, her husband, how could he do this to her, you know? And what this article was written very much from the woman's point of view, these women were saying how sorry they feel for their husband, you know, that, oh, poor Stanley, you know, and this is kind of this English fuddy-duddy man, I guess, they were trying to portray. But, oh, poor Stanley, he'll never understand, you know? He'll never understand why I had to go. And they're basically, you know, celebrating their newfound freedom, the fact that they ripped this guy off, took his money, used him, screwed him over. He's ruined. He's devastated for the rest of his life. And the children, by the way, are devastated. And she's just saying, oh, the poor things, they're going to have to adjust. What can you do? And she doesn't feel any guilt or pain or anything. And it's really portrayed to her, and this is obviously for other women reading the article, as, you know, just a wonderful thing that she's done, something that she had to do, and it was only reasonable. And, you know, this is a woman who's, you know, finding herself and self-actualizing, and we should, you know, really applaud her and support her. I think if that's the life that we're talking about, and, you know, people live longer than they ever did before. So you guys, you know, that I'm talking to now who are in your 20s, if you think you're going to marry a woman in your 20s, which is kind of the classic time to get married, you know, and I'm not talking 18, like whatever, I'm talking like, you know, 25, let's say. If you're going to live to be, you know, in your 80s, which is not so unusual anymore, if you seriously believe that you're going to be able to be with this woman for 50 or 60 years or more, and she is not going to sit there and calculate how to get rid of you and how to take the money and how to screw you over with your kids, you're just not being realistic. And we have to start looking as men for real alternatives. And I know it sounds strange when, you know, kind of pie in the sky, Tom says, you know, well, you could always do surrogacy. But I think this is going to be something that is going to be much more businesslike, much more systematic, much more, you know, call an 800 number and set it up. That's what's coming, and that's what's already starting to be here. And that's the way people are going to have unconventional families. And if you want your child to have some kind of female connection, maybe that's your sister, or maybe, you know, his aunt, or maybe that's your mother, his grandmother, or maybe you date a woman for a couple of months or years, and she gets involved with the kid and provides some, you know, maternal connection to him, but she doesn't have you by the balls, where she can sue you for divorce and take the kid away from you and ruin your life. That's the future.
Well, I hope so. Maybe one day you can come in here as a surrogate attorney, Adam Sachs.
That's a good idea.
Why not?
Thinking about it all the time.
You should be. Amazing. I will take a break here because we have callers. We want to get to them. We have callers about child support. Child support is the issue on the phones tonight. Look at that. If you have a question for family law attorney Adam Sachs about divorce, separation, child custody, child support, if you have a question about prenuptial agreements, postnuptial agreements, and, of course, those great restraining orders that so many people are getting these days, mostly against you guys, all you have to do right now for your free legal advice is to call this number, 901-3000-TOM. That's the number, 901-3000-TOM. Come on, boys, let's go. 901-3000-866.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. A bonus hour from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number to talk to family law attorney Adam Sachs. 901-3000-TOM. Let's go. 901-3000-866. Here is Anthony in Lake Elsinore on the Tom Likas Show for Adam Sachs. Adam.
Hello, Tom. How are you doing?
Doing great. How about you?
Hey, Anthony.
I'm doing. Hey, Adam. How are you doing there?
Cool.
I'm doing real well. Calling tonight. You know, I had a question about child support.
Sure.
Just want to say real quick though, Tom. Really appreciate what you do, brother. I've been a long time listener. Just got back in touch with you about maybe 2 months ago through some of the advertising you were doing.
Nice.
And I'm really happy to have you back. Really happy to have you back.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So my question is, I have a daughter who's 17 and been paying child support through a court order ever since she was about 5 years old. And she's going to be turning 18 this year in December. And I had just, you know, a question about what's the right process for me to kind of make sure that it stops at 18, because I don't think she's going to be going to college. She's still in school, still doing well, but I don't know. She just doesn't sound like the college type right now. So I was just curious, what's the chances of her mom, which historically has been a real big bitch.
How unusual.
You're right. It's a new story.
What a mystery.
What are the chances of her being able to get me after she turns 18?
Right. Okay. I understand. You know, first of all, you want to try to avoid getting involved with, the automatic garnishment, which is like child support services. Generally, when people get divorced, the child support is part of the divorce settlement, and the father just, you know, mails the check, and that's that. When you get the government involved, you have other issues and other problems. Technically speaking, child support is until your child is 18, okay? And what's ended up happening is that that's been kind of fudged around a little, where if your child turns 18 while they're still in high school full time, child support can continue until high school is concluded and your child is graduated. So I don't know exactly.
I do have my wages garnished through my my work check there, and she will turn 18. Before she completes high school, she'll probably do maybe like an extra half a year there.
Right. So you see how, for example, let's say in her senior year, her last year of high school, in let's say February, she turns 18. Technically, child support should end right there, but it's not going to. It's going to continue until June when she graduates, when she's done with high school. Okay.
That'll be automatic there, like even if I were to call.
No, but see, that's something that guys also don't understand. You know, I don't know what you did, but it's very, very common that guys go to the child support court or the Department of Child Support Services without a lawyer, and these documents are written up, and a lot of guys don't, you know, get a fair amount. Even when their income goes down, they don't get it reduced. And it sounds like you've been paying all along, but I talk to a lot of guys that have, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in arrearages, and then, you know, that ends up accumulating very high interest rates 10% or more, where these guys get into debt and they're never going to get out of it. And you better believe that her mother, especially if she's been nasty, is going to want to collect money for as long as she can. And so the truth is, you have to affirmatively hire counsel, such as myself, and I have to go into court, and I have to get the order terminated. And that's when the child support will then stop. If you just leave it alone, it will just keep being garnished. And I've had guys go out of their minds. They can't even believe it. And a year later, they hire me. I get it ended. But meanwhile, the mother has already collected another year of child support, which was tens of thousands of dollars or whatever. And you don't think she's going to give it back, right?
Hell no.
Now, they'll go after a man. No, it's not a joke, because they'll go after a man till the end of the earth to collect child support and to take his property, to seize your bank accounts. They'll garnish your wages. They'll take away your driver's license and your passport. But if a woman gets overpaid money that she's not entitled to, and it might be $20,000 or $10,000, they say you got to pay it back, and that's it. They don't enforce it at all. And if she says, F you, I'm not going to give it back, you know, there's very little you can do, especially if she's broke, typical woman, and judgment-proof. So you can get a judgment against her, but she's never going to pay. It's like a deadbeat, you know? And most women, you know, I've seen women that get huge amounts of child support from, like, famous guys or great businessmen or whatever, and they never save a penny. They live off the child support. They spend every dime they ever had. They make loans to their girlfriends, and they buy their friends things, all kinds of stupid shit, mad money, they call it. And then when the kids turn 18, they literally are destitute. In fact, there was an article in the LA Times yesterday about older women, and they mean women over 60, retirement women, who are destitute, who never saved a penny, had children, spent all their money, spent all their child support, threw away every dime they ever got from their ex-husband and settlements and alimony or whatever, and now they're literally, like, homeless and desperate for food and, like, sleeping in their cars and whatnot. Because women are nesters. Women are not planning, saving, or investing. So you are going to have to affirmatively, and I'll do it for you, of course, give me a call after the show. We're going to have to go in, and we're going to have to go in front of a court, and we're going to have to get the support terminated. Because otherwise, they will suck it for as long as they can.
Now, last quick question. When's the appropriate time? If she turns 18 in December, when's the appropriate time to start something like this? Would it be now?
Well, I'm sorry. You were saying she's in her last year of high school, right?
No, she's actually not. She's 17 right now.
Oh, okay.
But she's only a junior at the moment.
Okay, I missed that. So the appropriate time would be after she turns 18, when she only has a few more months until the end of high school. So let's say next year, and let's say February or March.
Okay.
At that point, she's 18, and then she's graduating in another 2 or 3 months. And in May or June, right? And that would be a good time for me to go get an order that the June support will be the last support.
Very good.
As far as college goes, you don't have any real responsibility for that, especially if she doesn't want to go. You should encourage her to go, and if you want to contribute to that, you know, that's something that you can do as a father out of generosity rather than with a gun in your face. I think it's a lot nicer for a man to love his kids and want to help them as opposed to being compelled to help them and having the money extracted from his pocket by the government at gunpoint.
You guys are exactly right. Exactly right. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate the advice.
Of course.
I will definitely, you know, once I get closer down the line, hit you up there.
For sure.
And again, thank you so much for the access to this, Tom. I appreciate it so much, man.
Thank you, Anthony. We really appreciate it. Good luck to you.
See, Tom, can you blow me up, Tom?
I can blow you up. Here you go.
See, Tom, it's a tragedy the way the things have changed, you know? We talk about a man who, let's say, wants to have children and wants to take care of his kids and you know, has pride in you know, getting his kids, supporting them, getting them things that they need, sending them to college, whatever. Our society has turned all of that on its head, where a man now is a fucking deadbeat, you know.
Right.
He's got this pissed off ex-wife, you know. You're a piece of crap. You don't pay for what we need. You know, we just have that woman on Maury screaming, he don't even buy no Pampers, you know, that whole thing, right? And meanwhile, you know, the state steps in as this sort of intermediary and extracts, literally, the money from the guy who may have not wanted to have the kid, who was tricked by the woman into a pregnancy. You know, these BS about, oh, I'm on the pill, don't worry. That's the only kind of legal fraud that there is, Tom. You know, where a woman can lie right to your face and tell you, you know, don't worry, my doctor told me I can't get pregnant or whatever. Have a baby and then sit there and extract money from you unwillingly. And you see how it's really upsetting for these guys. The wife spends it on whatever she wants. You could, you know, there's no tracking. If you get audited by the IRS, you bring your little shoebox of papers and they go over every single receipt. Everything you spent for the whole year. Meanwhile, a woman gets a child support check for several thousand dollars a month. She's supposed to spend it on the kids, and she could buy cocaine with it, and that's totally okay. It's not trackable or traceable whatsoever, okay? And then the father is told, you're a loser, you didn't pay enough, we need more money, and you didn't contribute, and she tells the kid, your father's an asshole. And then, you know, the kid turns 18, and it's like finally they cut it off or whatever. The father's disgusted with the whole thing. I mean, that's so sad that we've taken away the joy of parenthood from men in the most cruel of ways and turned it into something Frankenstein and disgusting.
Right, but that's what's happened, and again, you just have to vote with your feet.
I couldn't agree more. That's the truth. And by the way, Tom, people are.
I'm thrilled to see that. And we are seeing the average age of the first marriage going up for men.
We're not getting married.
Divorces going down. And it's not because people are more happily married, it's because less people are married. And it keeps going. All right, we'll take a break. We have more calls coming up here. Coming up, I'll tell you how you can get in touch with Adam directly. So don't go anywhere.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. With family law attorney Adam Sachs, his studio, 901-3000 Tom. We'll talk to Adam, 901-3000-866. Adam Sachs, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can give me a call toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com. I mentioned before, you can check me out also on Facebook, Law Offices of Adam Sachs, and you can send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com, and I answer them myself.
All right. Let's say hi to Chris in New York City. Chris, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Tom and Adam. Great to talk to you guys tonight.
Hey, Chris.
I have a quick question for you about my current child support scenario, the plan that I'm on, that I've been on for like the last 5 years.
Okay.
And I want to get your impression, Adam, as to whether or not this is normal. And I really, you know, the only other person that's looked at this was my attorney back when I did the deal 5 years ago.
Okay.
And I'll just give it to you really quickly. So technically, if I'm doing the formula that the state would give me here in New York State, I should pay around $1,100 a month in child support. But I agreed to pay $1,000 additional over the child support to cover, quote unquote, additional expenses. So every month I'm paying around $2,100, $2,200 a month for child support, all in.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
Do you see the child?
Yeah. I mean, I negotiated for almost 50-50 time, decision-making, custody, visitation, everything.
Okay, and what about her? What does she do? Does she have a job?
She's got a good job. She's a PhD.
Really?
She works at a big company. Well, she works at the United Nations. She makes
tax-free
figures. She's got a great gig. She's a very independent woman, and she makes good money.
Right,
so,
by the way, this is not the kind of woman to have a child with, right?
She's not spending that money on cocaine, I'm pretty sure.
No,
of that.
I know, but I'm just saying, she's giving you the you broke up and she's sticking it to you for child support. These women always say how independent they are, and maybe they really are, but when it comes to child support, all of a sudden they're little girls again.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly the case.
What about you? Do you make a good living?
I do. So I'm in advertising sales, and okay. I can have a minimal year, which a minimum year would be like close to base salary, and that's anywhere between 140 to 175K a year. And then a good year, like I had last year, I can make 325, 350.
Right. I know it sounds like a lot more than it is in New York, especially. I know.
I live in Manhattan.
Yeah. Very expensive place, even if you're making 300,000. I understand.
Let me lay it out for you really quickly. Why this came up for me was, I live in a $1,700 a month, 500 square foot studio apartment on the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
Right.
So I live in a shitbox.
What do you have, rent control?
It pretty much is. Not a bad building. The building's nice. I have a great relationship there. I've been for 5 years. I have the place designed and set up really nicely. I even built a bedroom for my daughter, so I have this like decent little living area. You know, it's my daughter has a bedroom. I can sleep in the living room when she's here. I have a great like bed set up here that, you know, is like a really nice like sectional couch that folds out. So I'm not living like the Playboy great lifestyle that you would imagine, you know, being a single dad living in Manhattan. It kind of sucks. You know, it's not what I would imagine, especially making what I do, you know, I could afford, you know, without this commitment, this obligation, I could afford a much better lifestyle for sure. So I purposely came to this lower cost apartment. I'm paying half, you know, or a third as much as pretty much anybody else I know. Panties still drop when new women come over, so I don't really care about that. It'd be nice to have a nicer place. But I am a P1 and I'm like a 101 follower, so I don't really try to bring girls over anyway.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, especially but based on being, past experience.
Right.
Yeah, totally. So that being said, when I got my expenses kind of drawn up here and my take home with my base salary, I'm almost at break even. So if I live like a monk lifestyle, let's say if I'm just going to the gym and working and going out and not spending any money when I go out, I might be able to save $1,000 a month at that. You know, I mean, I'm like right at the edge of like break even. And that's base salary, but through my bonuses and through, you know, my commissions, I've been able to pay, in 2015, I paid off $60,000 in debt, that I've had ever since I got divorced in 2011.
All right. So let me talk to you about child support.
Yeah.
Child support is a calculation. It's a little different in each state. But it's a calculation based on your income and her income, and then, you know, your various expenses deducted, and then the amount of time that you each spend. Now, superficially speaking, she's making a good income, you're making a good income. You have a lot of expenses, obviously. It's expensive to live in New York. Paying $1,000 or $1,100 is not the end of the world. Generally, there are some add-ons, such as, you know, for health insurance or for daycare, but you're talking about $1,000, so that's almost as much as you're paying in the basic child support. You're paying $1,100, mm-hmm. then you're paying another $1,000 on top of that for the add-ons. I think that might be excessive, and that's something that you might really want to, you know, deal with, and that's something that'll probably be a lot easier to change than to change the child support. You might get a lot more resistance from a judge in trying to change the child support amount as opposed to the add-ons, and it's almost as much, you know? I mean, the way you're describing it, you're paying something like $25,000 a year in child support, $24,000 or whatever. That's a lot of money. And if you could cut that in half or, you know, let's say a third, that would certainly be worth exploring. You know, if you told me that your ex was this loser who, you know, is collecting welfare and doesn't make any money, I'd be a little more apprehensive. But you're telling me she works for the UN, she makes a large tax-free income. You know, you shouldn't be paying through the nose like this. It's not right.
Yeah, I mean, what got me to call was when you first came on tonight, you were like, you know, child support payments spread out over the lifetime of a child. I did my calculations, just shy of $400K.
Yeah,
you know, and what I'm paying now. Yeah.
Now, if you could have, if you could have gotten a child through surrogacy, that's just yours, okay? And, you know, even paying the surrogate and everything cost you, you know, tens of thousands. Wouldn't it still have been worth it not to pay $400,000 in child support to some bitch?
Being single, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Mean, sounds good to me.
The case that I can make, I mean, and what really, another thing too, she signed her up for this completely bullshit class for her.
Yeah.
This, like, you know.
Spiritual stupidity.
Basically, yeah. I mean, it's an arts and crafts class where they're, like, gluing shit together. It's not even, like, and it was $1,000 for a semester of this class, right?
Right.
And I went to the class, and I was like, you fucking paid $1,000 for this. Like, literally, they're sitting around gluing stuff together. When for that amount of money, she could have been in one of the top-tier music classes.
Yeah.
She could have been on a top-tier swim team. She could have been learning a different language. Like, there's so many other better ways to spend that money.
Yeah, that's
and my
true.
Ex was very careless with money. She might have a good job and everything, but she does.
Oh,
she
a woman who's careless with money? Where'd you find that?
That never happens.
I've never heard of that before. That's really special. Dude, you really did 10 for 10, okay? But, I mean, seriously,
yeah.
If you think about it, what we're talking about is not to pick on you, of course, but to be in the position of making the parental decisions, that's a big deal. Look how much nonsense you have to put up with dealing with her, that she's going to take your kid to this nonsense crap course, where I know a lot of people that end up getting in situations where the mother freaks out and gets into some kind of a cult or some kind of religious crap, and the father has no control at all. And here she is taking the kids to this crazy church that makes no sense. Like you say, the kid could be learning another language or something useful, and here she's learning lesbian dance techniques, you know?
All right, Chris, thank you, and good luck. Here we go.
This doesn't pay, Tom.
No.
Seriously.
No good deed goes unpunished.
But do we see even, I mean, I know it's just your callers, look at the consistency. Women that are irresponsible with money, women that are difficult to deal with, the ex-wife or the ex-girlfriend giving you a hard time with your kids. I mean, these are absolutely consistent themes, Tom.
And it's not going to stop.
It's going to get worse.
Things ever change, of course. All right, Adam, how do we get in touch with you?
Toll free, 800-340-7320. That's toll free, 1-800-340-7320. Send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Okay, don't forget, if you missed any part of Adam Sachs, maybe you're listening to a replay of the show, Adam is here for a bonus hour. It's every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Coast to coast, around the world, and across the universe, this is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
I think he's a communist.
We're brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer.
It's a communist.
A murder suspect assumed armed and dangerous, mistakenly released from a Los Angeles jail on Saturday.
That's good for him.
No shit. Can
I mean,
you
that's
imagine?
That's like getting the hit in the lottery, Jarrett.
This happened on Saturday, and I didn't realize it till like Sunday or Friday, and then it was like a full day.
By the way, when they get him back and everything, does then he go to a lawyer and say, this is cruel and unusual punishment
right.
because you let me go.
Mm-hmm. It was apparently some kind of clerical error.
Yeah. Well, that's the kind of that you like.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird that they let us know, like, on Tuesday.
Right. It gave our friend a head start.
It's really fucked up. Your boy's got some pretty unique tattoos, I think. Easy to spot.
Yeah, I don't even know if cover-up could cover
yeah.
that shit.
If you plan on killing, a neck tattoo is not a good idea.
It really says something.
If you're going to be on a lamb one day.
Right. You know, the praying hands on the neck is always an indication there might be some troubles.
Yes. Four Oklahoma high school students, wrestlers, have mm-hmm. been charged with rape following a hazing incident.
Yeah, they allegedly rammed some device in somebody's a-hole. And by the way, you've said this a long time about wrestlers. There's a lot of weird gay stuff going
so
on.
So odd, man. It's an odd thing to want to do, roll around on a mat with another dude in those tights. It's fucking weird, man. I think we can all acknowledge that now.
Shit is cray. That shit is cray.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, they've all been charged with 3 counts of rape by instrumentation.
See? Told you.
I don't know what the instrumentation was.
It, by the way, this hazing thing, you know, it happens to high school athletes. It doesn't end there. You go to college and you end up in a fraternity, and weird shit happens to you there too, man. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Real weird.
Weird on the street.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Real weird.
A cross-border raid by U.S. and Mexican law enforcement officials resulted in the arrest of 24 Sinaloa cartel members.
Yeah, I every time I see these stories, I see drug prices going up. That's upsetting. Oh, was that my outside voice?
Yeah, that just
shit
came blurting out of your face.
Sorry. The raid, dubbed Mexican Operation Diablo Express, targeted the high-level Sinaloa cartel members who operate in the United States and the Mexican state of Sonora. And our friends were popped probably in the early morning hours. They do this stuff, and they swoop them up.
Hate to see that happen.
I
guys
do.
Like you, it hurts.
It's upsetting.
Hurts your right in the wallet.
Damn. By the way, they got a bunch of assault-type weapons, hundreds of pounds of narcotics as well.
Really?
And stacks of cash.
Sons of bitches. Oh, my God. Sacramento Kings.
I there's a reason why this story's in air, I want to say.
Had to remove T-shirts with a monkey on them on the first day of Black History Month.
Right. I mean, it's just the whole thing is crazy. I mean, why did they have that? I mean, it's so dumb. By the way,
is it like a rally monkey or something?
Well, Tom has talked about the Phoenix Suns gorilla all the time, too.
Yeah.
It's like an insult. And you know,
by the way, think about it for a second. The name of the team is the Phoenix Suns. What does a gorilla
has nothing to do with anything.
Have to do with Phoenix,
Sun.
They don't have gorillas native to Arizona.
No, there's one
and only reason that the Phoenix Suns have had a gorilla as a mascot.
Because there's not
no,
a single
it go,
black
that goes per, back to
not
previous
a single black
owners.
Person in the seats to complain about it.
You right? can't cite Robert Sarver for this. This goes back to Colangelo.
What's easier than a big foam sun? Like, just fucking put somebody in
By
a
the
sun
way,
outfit.
And
call him Sonny.
Call him Sonny.
Look at the success of the Kool-Aid man.
Right,
why do you make a big
like
sun with a smile on his face? He comes busted in and goes, oh, yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
In a very white state, you've got a gorilla as the NBA mascot.
No,
come on.
In the whitest state there is. In fact,
no, Utah's the whitest state there is.
Well, I got to say this. Going to the Phoenix Open, which is happening this weekend, there's 100,000 people there, and you will count less than 5 African-Americans there. 5.
Wow.
In the gallery and everywhere. It's insulting.
And those African-Americans are... Tiger Woods.
Well, right. No, he doesn't even show up anymore because he gets hassled there. So he doesn't even play in the Phoenix Open anymore. It's been years.
He gets hassled there? What do you mean?
He says that he plays in some tournament in Dubai that coincides with it because it's for a lot of money. But it really is because he gets harangued there. So
for being black?
No, just because people, you know, Phil Mickelson is the beloved son there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, not nice.
What's the gorilla's name, anyway? I know he's got a name, right?
That's a good question. Yeah. I've met the gorilla. And, you know, let's see.
Fantastic.
Sun gorilla's name. Let's see.
Amos.
Stop it, you. Stop it. No, there's no name.
I could remember you saying the fucking thing had a name at some point.
No.
Oh, I'll bet it had a name.
Oh, shit.
His name is Insult. Yeah,
right.
Jamal.
Jamal, the insult monkey.
No, that's insulting. Just insult.
Why don't they just throw,
I don't understand the gorilla either. And maybe...
Oh, I understand it completely.
Maybe because they're going to get...
I lived in Phoenix.
Well, things have changed a little bit. They've eased up.
And I remember when Walter Davis was like the black guy on the team.
Are they
acknowledging Martin Luther King Day yet? Or?
Yes. Yeah. By the way, Arizona
at the
voters,
end of a barrel of a gun.
Hold on. Cool. It's not. They didn't say no to Martin Luther King Holiday once. They said no to it twice, and only they wouldn't get Super Bowl 30. It was economic pressure right. Got them to fold.
Right. What are they doing for Black History Month? Anything over there?
The gorilla's going to be out at the mobile station with pictures, handing out pictures of George Washington Carver. It's going to be very exciting.
Yeah.
A white betting sale?
That's right.
I can't say that I'm very proud of our friends there in Arizona, but they just kind of changed things a little bit.
The monkey.
It's fine now. It's getting much better.
It's changed?
Yes.
Really?
Much better, yeah.
That's so?
Yes. You'll see.
Scottsdale? A little slow on the uptake there?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's nice places, and they welcome everybody.
Oh, really?
By the way, Tom found shit in the law books about people. He pointed this out to me. I don't know if it was people of color, but I know for sure you couldn't live as a couple and not be married. Up until recently, it was against the law.
That's
and
right.
I mean, it recently, like, it finally got pulled off the books in, like, 2003.
By the way, when I lived there, you couldn't even cohabitate, period.
That's fucking crazy.
Now, they didn't enforce the law anymore, so I went on the air one day and announced I was cohabitating with my, at the time, girlfriend. I announced it. I challenged the police to come and get me. But the deed to my home, and you can look it up because it's a matter of public record.
Yep.
My home at 9610 North 15th Place in Phoenix, Arizona, the deed, a public document, specifically said that I could not sell my house to Negroes.
And it said in that exact way.
It still says it. When I bought the house, I wanted that taken out. You can't take it out. They just can't enforce it. But it's still in there. To give you an idea of how recent this kind of attitude was. And I think they still had the gorilla back then, didn't they?
Of course. They have had it forever. They've had it the whole time you were there.
Don't tell me you don't know why they have a gorilla as a mascot.
It's like that NBA player you used to live next to in Boston. The gorilla at night is fine. They just don't want to live next to the gorilla.
Right. That guy's number was 00.
Right.
Let me just say this, okay? Is bringing it up to Robert Sarver, is that racist? You know what I mean? Like, how do you say, dude, you...
Bringing it up?
Yeah. Do you say it to him? Like, that means you're thinking...
If you don't want any free tickets ever again...
That means that you're thinking...
Not that you've ever had any, but you'll never be getting it.
That's true, because I never worked for the Indian casinos or anything. They have tickets like a motherfucker. I never got them when I worked at a rock station there in Phoenix either. We never came across free tickets to the Suns. Ever. Because it's the hottest ticket in town. But I'm saying, by bringing it up to Robert Sarver, does that count? Does that mean that you're thinking that when it's not you're not supposed to think that? Like, how do you say it? Because I say we call him up and say,
"Oh,
I
say
get rid
it flat
of the
out.
Gorilla.
You cannot have a gorilla as a mascot of an NBA team. You can't."
Let's tell him. Because I think he's an Orange County resident, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I'm pissed off now because he's like a banking guy. And he's ruined the team. But that's a whole other discussion.
I can't think of any other reason why you want a gorilla as a mascot.
I'm saying you're right. I think we should get rid of it. Done. I really do. I always have. Because it is, after you pointed it out, and then you see the monkey running around and stuff.
Nobody has an issue with it, though. Clearly.
That's what I'm saying. By bringing it up, I'm saying that looks bad upon you because you're thinking that when maybe nobody else is. Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody, think about it. An NBA team with 10 African-Americans playing on it, their mascot is a gorilla. Mm. Do you find that offensive?
Like a really dark gorilla, too.
Yes. And he's wearing orange, like pimp-like orange, too.
Right.
Come on.
See, yeah, that's some bullshit right there,
pimp-like
man.
Pimp-like orange.
We got to get rid of the gorilla. But
by the way, their other color is what? Purple.
And black.
Mm. Purple, orange, and black.
Yeah.
Tell me that there's not a message in
right.
there.
Right. And he drinks scissor.
Oh, my God. That's not true.
Oh, it isn't? That's what I heard.
No.
Oh.
N-O.
I should have sold my house to him. See what would have happened.
Huh.
Right. There goes the neighborhood.
See, this is going to drive me crazy now. I'm pissed off.
You've been fine with it for years. What are you talking
about? Because I never thought about that. It didn't really occur to me. And then years and years ago, Tom said something to me. And I thought, well, what is considered one of the most racist states ever in the history. And then I started thinking about it. Tom said, you know, that Phoenix Suns gorilla, I'm telling you. And I'm thinking, and then when I'm watching games and he's running around and he's dunking off the little jump thing. Yeah. And I'm thinking,
he's got some hops, that kid.
Motherfucker, Tom's right, dude. Yeah. And this is bad.
Yep. Last time we were at a Suns game, we sat in those seats and we played Spot the Black Guy. We literally couldn't find anybody in the arena. Except on the floor.
Yep. There are some there, but the chances are they're family members of the players on the floor. But it's bad, dude. I went to a high school for 1 year in Scottsdale, a public high school, 1 year, and I was in a graduating class of like 800, and there was maybe 3 black kids. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And were they the kids of the Phoenix Suns?
No, one of them was like a famous boxer. I don't want to say a famous boxer's kid. And, you know, this is bad. But I see it changing, though, man. I do. I'm telling you guys. It's finally coming around.
How is it changing?
Well, you're definitely going to see the demographics change if you look at the census, the latest census was 2012. It's the numbers have
gone
up.
Right, because essentially what's happened is all the whites moved out to North Phoenix and Paradise and all these places, and the Surprise and Apache Junction and Chandler, and the core city was left with a lot of older, affordable housing. And who moved in?
And they should. I don't see a problem with it. I don't get it.
I mean, that's why the demographics are changing, because white people found outer areas
to move
to.
What's that called? When the people exit the...
White flight?
White flight, that's
yes.
It. Yeah. I think, for such a culture, and you know a lot of those white kids embrace the shit out of the black culture. They listen to urban music. And they love it, and then here it's like they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. They love the culture, they just don't want to be near it. It's bullshit.
I told you that coming from Robert Parrish. I told you.
Who's lower on the ladder over there, the Indians or the blacks?
Well, they've lived alongside the Indians for a long time.
Right. Native Americans have been shit on there, I mean, from the get-go.
When I lived in Phoenix, Dean, you'll remember this. When I lived in Phoenix, there was a chain of convenience stores called U Totem.
Yep.
And it had totem poles outside. I'm not making this up. People complain about the Washington Redskins. How about going into U Totem to pick up some cigarettes, huh?
Tom is 100% correct. It's the letter U, the word tote, and then M. And that's your convenience.
No, totem it was written like as one word, T-O-T-E-M, totem.
Right.
U-totem.
Right. It's such... But, so I'm telling you, Indians have been shit on the...
No, worst. That's what I kind of saw some
of
that.
But our Native American friends are getting everybody back now, because what they now do is they take the pale faces' money. Because they put casinos on their land,
right.
And they lease the land to these, you know, 6-lane highways that go through, and they just get paid a fortune. Mm-hmm. So our friends are getting the last laugh.
They buy better booze now.
You still can't buy booze on a reservation. You have to go literally a block. If you go, it's really bad. You go one block off the reservation, and it's lines of U totems and stuff like that. Convenience.
Yeah. That would be great to get to the entrance to an Indian reservation and put a U totem right there.
Yep. By the way, Circle K bought all of the stock of U totem for $225 million. So
And the result of it is that there's many corners in Phoenix where there's a Circle K on both sides of the street.
Oh, completely.
And they turn them
still,
into
still that way in Scottsdale. Scottsdale and
Circle
Shea.
KKK.
Yes.
Right across from each other. Don't, Timpson. Because he hasn't earned it.
Circle KKK.
No. It's insane. Because Gary has a very good time in Arizona, so I don't want to hear his shit.
I do.
It's fucking great.
Yeah. It is. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
Finally, a pick alert for you. Tawny Jordan in a bikini. She's another 138 water girl.
Oh, my God. And this one,
she makes me thirsty.
Please. Again, where are they finding them? I don't know. I really don't know.
Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary's Dino.
Hey, cool!
Oh, yeah.
Check out the podcast, GaryandDino.com is where you find it. Brand new show every single Friday. Just go to GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
This motherfucker right here. This guy stole my fucking house. Yeah. Oh, yeah.